and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk to Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Tyler Coates to the podcast. He's the owner of the Clubhouse over on Arbor Street. Tyler, tell me a little bit about what the Clubhouse is.
Well, James, the Clubhouse is a private events venue. We do all sorts of events, from weddings to birthdays, family reunions. We even did a funeral recently.
Wow.
I can't say that there's necessarily a niche that we fill, because it seems like every rental we get is a little bit different from the last. And then every once in a while, we'll also host public events. Mm-hmm. My partner at the Clubhouse, Amanda, she has a separate business called the Local Art Entity. So we participate in the gallery walks on the first Fridays of every month. And she'll teach some yoga classes down there and some miscellaneous stuff as well.
So, you know, obviously you are very involved in the Park Avenue community. I know that you are involved with, you're the president of the Park Avenue Community Association board, and that's great, because you've really only been here in the community for a short amount of time.
Yeah, we just made a little over 2 years in Hot Springs, and when we decided that we were going to move here, we wanted to be more involved in the community. This is the first time we'd ever lived in a smaller place. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm from Memphis and had lived in New Orleans for a decade, and Amanda's from New Orleans. And so when we moved here, we said we want to really take advantage of the opportunity to be involved and have a say. And we heard about the Park Avenue Community Association. And before we'd even moved here fully, we started attending the meetings when we would visit. And it wasn't until long that we got involved in that. And the presidents that were, it was Justin and Baker, were the former presidents and treasurer, and they moved on, and the board asked me to come take part, and well, now I'm on my second year being president.
Yeah. So what got you interested in, you know, doing what you do, and you know, where did the idea for the Clubhouse come from?
Well, we had been living in New Orleans, and it was, you know, like I said, I spent a decade there, and we had a lot of fun, and it was really good. But we had our first daughter, and that really kind of changed the dynamics of things for us. I think that New Orleans is a great place. It's fun, you can party a lot, but maybe it's not necessarily the best place to raise kids and grow roots.
Sure.
And around that time, well, a little bit before then, my parents had retired from Memphis and moved out to Hot Springs, and we'd go and visit them, and I just thought, this is such a cute little town, you know, and I think that Hot Springs kind of represents the American dream, and that you can kind of come and do something and be involved, and you don't have to be extremely wealthy to do that. So after we had our daughter, it started getting harder and harder to leave when we'd come and visit here. So mm-hmm. finally we decided, you know what? Let's uproot our lives and move to another place and start all over. And I'd been grinding for over a decade doing retail management pretty much, and we really wanted the opportunity to do something for ourselves. So we started looking for property in Hot Springs, and we wanted to find something that filled a couple things. We wanted to find a property that was commercial. We wanted to find a property that had the ability to live in it if need be. And for me and Amanda, we really wanted to be in the Park Avenue area, because it's the only neighborhood in America that's in the middle of a national park. Mm-hmm. And I said, if possible, if we could find a property that backed up to the national park, that would be amazing. So when the building, which was originally the laundry center for the Velda Rose across the street, mm-hmm. then sat abandoned for many years till Bill and Shay Solider got it and ran the Low-Key Arts for a good long while, I believe about a decade in there.
Right.
When it came on market, I said, gosh, this just checks off all the boxes that we're looking for. And so we did a Zoom tour. This was the beginning of COVID.
Right.
We did a Zoom tour and put in an offer without even seeing it in person.
Yeah. So, you know, you told me earlier that, you know, it took a while to get things off the ground. It took a long time for y'all to get the renovations done and kind of make it into what it is now. Tell me a little bit about that process, because like you said, when you bought it, it was middle of COVID. You know, it's kind of a risky time to be making any kind of endeavor like this, any kind of open a business. You know, it's a little more risky than normal, I would think. But so tell me a little bit about how you were able to transform the space and make it into, you know, an event space.
Absolutely. And yeah, it was quite the risky endeavor because, you know, being that it was COVID times, we didn't really know how long, when and if that people were going to be gathering in mass again. So, you know, like I had said, you know, we're pretty grassroots. We're not wealthy people. And I was hopeful that maybe we'd be able to, you know, help or hire out a contractor and get some assistance. But, you know, with everything that was going on, and that just wasn't feasible. So I just did everything myself pretty much. I did hire out the jobs that required permitting, like the electrical. And being in a transitionary state, I didn't have health insurance at the time. So I did hire out someone to paint the exterior because it's pretty tall. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, and with a little help from my family, we did everything ourselves. It took about a year and a half, and it was definitely a learning experience, especially in regards to code and city requirements. I think that Hot Springs is definitely better than bigger cities in that, but it's, you know, nothing is really set up for individuals to do. They want professionals to do everything. So when I'd fill out the building permit, they'd say, "Who's your contractor?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm my own contractor. We're just going to make this happen." And then there were some issues where we were doing some new technology they weren't familiar with. Mm-hmm. For example, the building, it's 80-year-old building. It had never had HVAC in it the entire time that it had been existing. And so I put air conditionings up top and in the bottom. And that really threw the permitting office for a loop because, "Oh, well, you can't do that. You know, you have to have professionals." I said, "Well, all the refrigerant is already in the lines. It's, you know, check these things out." And by the end of it, Mike Scott was saying, "Hey, man, I really like these air conditioners. Tell me more about them. I'm going to put them in my house." So it was definitely an adventure. One thing that really threw us for a loop, the way I had budgeted it out, I'd done as much research as I could for codes in Arkansas. And, you know, I was concerned about fire code. Our capacity is 175. Mm-hmm. And in Arkansas, if you have a capacity of over 200, you're required to put a sprinkler in the building, which is quite an expensive endeavor.
Right.
Well, it turns out that our property is actually in what's called the thermal basin zone, which has to do with our spring water. Mm-hmm. And it's got a little bit more stringent numbers. So it turned out that you need sprinklers over a capacity of 150. Okay. And so that was a big financial burden that we didn't expect. And well, to be frank, it took everything we had. But, you know, we got it in and we got the permits to open up, and we made it happen at the end of the day. And I'm not mad about the city about that. I understand they don't want egg on their face. The whole sure. town's burnt down a few times. But, you know, definitely do your research when you're looking into these things, because that one definitely threw us for a loop.
Right.
Tune in to check out the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So tell me about how things got going. You know, once all the work was done, you know, and you finally started being able to host events, was there a pretty good response from the community, people wanting to use this space?
Absolutely, James. We were really lucky in that we took over a space that was really well known in town. Mm-hmm. You know, Low-Key Arts, there's a nonprofit that does amazing things, and they've been a huge pillar of the community for so long that before we even moved down here, people were hitting me up, calling me, posting on Facebook, hey, what are you doing with the building? What's going on? There was a lot of chatter, and I think that really helped us, not just in getting the word out, but also our social circle. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, Low-Key Arts still exists. They've transformed to doing most of their concert series outdoors, but you know, I gotta say, I'm really appreciative to them and the Solidars and what they've done, because we just had a great community outreach as soon as we got here. The Sentinel Record reached out to us, asked questions, got us out there. And, you know, the response has just been really overwhelming and really appreciated. people are super friendly in this town. I couldn't walk outside without someone stopping their car and chatting for 30 minutes. Hey, what's going on here?
Right. So you told me a little bit about the kinds of things that y'all hosted. Obviously, a funeral is not exactly the most normal type thing that you would have in a space like this. But what's some of the other kind of odd things that you've kind of been surprised that you ended up hosting over there?
Well, to clarify, it was a celebration of life.
Sorry.
No, I called it a funeral, but it was really more of a party of remembrance.
Right.
You know, we've done proms, which, you know, I gotta be honest, I was nervous about. We did sorority parties, mm-hmm. nervous about those kind of events. Turned out to be some of our best guests we've had. Absolutely respectful. Most of the time, it's family reunions, birthday parties, and things along those lines. And we've done some collaborations with the Park Avenue Community Association. We hosted an event called Super Sunday, mm-hmm. where we got with 15 of the best restaurants in town, and they donated a couple gallons of soup, and we sold tickets and allowed people to come in there and sample all the soups, and that took that money and put it all towards PACA. And oh my gosh, we had over 100 people in there. The biggest public event that we've hosted recently was the Hot Springs Gem and Mineral Show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, living in New Orleans, there's not a lot of nature, there's zero rocks. And so when I came here into this, you know, beautiful untouched splendor of the Ouachitas, I've been spending a lot of time out in the woods exploring and just loving that. And I said, you know, we're right around the corner from Mount Ida, the quartz capital of the world. Why is Hot Springs not currently hosting a gem and mineral show?
Right.
So we put that on. It was nerve-wracking because it was our biggest public event, multi-day, tons of vendors. We even had Avant, the biggest name in the game out there.
Mm-hmm.
And James, it was just packed both days. We had such a positive reaction from the community, and all our vendors were so happy, and it's going to be a yearly event. And that was interesting. That was fun. Something different.
Right. So, you know, you've got a year in under your belt, just about. What do you see, you know, the future being for the clubhouse?
Well, you know, Hot Springs and Park Avenue in specific are very much in an evolving state.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been here 2 years, but I've been visiting all my life. I remember walking to the end of Central on foot, getting to the Majestic, looking up and going, wow, look at this giant building. And then looking down Park Avenue and going, oh, I should turn around and walk back now.
Right.
So we're really blessed to have come into the town in a place where it's really on the up and up, a lot of things going on, a lot of the derelict buildings getting renovated and becoming neat things. And so our business as well will evolve. Who knows what's going to go into the Majestic site? Mm-hmm. They were saying a 6,000 person amphitheater at one point.
Right.
Well, if they were to put an amphitheater in there, we would probably also operate public hours before and after events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a bar, we have our beer and wine license. And so right now we're a public events venue. Our private events venue, we will continue to do private events, but we might also add more things down the road. You know, we might even put a kitchen in there and get a full bar license. It's hard to say. We will do what we can to meet the needs of the community.
Right. You did mention the beer and wine. Is that something that has helped to, you know, draw people to the event space? Or is that just kind of something that it's great that you have it because people are, you know, want to use it because you have it?
Well, our goal is to make the experience as easy as possible for the people that book the venue. So when you book our space, we offer the full bar experience with the bartender. You don't have to take advantage of that. We don't have any food services, so we allow catering or what have you. And then our rentals also include tables, chairs for up to 80 people already set up, and a very nice sound system. The beer and wine is a convenience. It is not a moneymaker for us. As everyone knows, the taxation in Hot Springs for alcohol is exceptionally high. It borders on breaking even, but we're happy to be able to provide that experience for the guests so they don't have to worry about that aspect.
Right. How large is the space? You did mention upstairs and downstairs, but how large is it completely?
It's 3,000 square feet. We have two bathrooms, the bar, and a stage still intact. I did cut down the stage a little bit to give a little bit more floor space. We can seat 80 comfortably. We can have up to 175 standing, but we tend to keep events to 100 and less just for people's comfort. I also had a gate built across the driveway mm-hmm. so we can utilize outside space as well.
Okay. Has there been a lot of interest in the outside space? I mean, obviously right now there's not but due to the heat, but obviously, you know, in the fall and the spring, we've got, you know, a little bit nicer weather. Has there been some interest in that outdoor area?
People enjoy the outdoor space. I hate to say this, but, you know, people in Arkansas love to smoke. So, and what else? The gate also allowed us to allow beverages to be taken outside, which is a big thing for people. We are still in the process of outfitting that outdoor space, mm-hmm. finding the right outdoor furniture that works. But another thing we did was we redid the retaining wall, and we wanted to enhance the area as much as we could. And driving around the area, I was really taken by the different breeze blocks and mid-century modern architecture that we have in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So I was able to source out some antique breeze blocks, and we put those on top of our retaining wall and made just a really nice vibe out there.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming by and talking to me. If somebody is interested in getting in touch, wanting to rent out the space, what do they need to do?
They can go to www.theclubhousehs.com, as in Hot Springs. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. If you drive by and you see the building, we've got some pamphlets right outside on the door that you can grab. Any way you can get in contact with us, we're happy to have you.
All right. Sounds great. Well, like I said, appreciate you coming by and enjoyed learning a little bit about this new space y'all got over there.
Thank you, James. It was a pleasure. We appreciate everything you and the Sentinel Record do.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.